Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Wednesday Conversation. I'm Bethany Gilbert.
And I'm Mike Kresnick.
And I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church. And in his last podcast appearance ever, Travis Barrett. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about Christians and club sports.
Travis, welcome to your last podcast.
This is the end.
This is it. The end of a journey, which means somebody has to edit this podcast. I don't know how we're
going to... Will anybody hear this podcast?
Who knows? We got to get this thing on the edits. We're going to tackle a short article from the Institute for Family Studies about the hungry system of club sports. Let me tell you why we are choosing to talk about this topic. Our church, particularly right now, is full of a lot of families with younger kids. I know many churches, that's part of the demographic, is folks with young kids. Every Christian parent is going to have to face this reality, the reality of sports, your kid wanting to play sports, and the question of how do we do that in a way that both gets our kids some good competitive development and doesn't consume our entire existence. And that's what this article is about. Now, there are many people in our church who are involved in club sports. There are many people who aren't yet, but have that on the horizon. And there are guys like me and Dusty who are sort of on the back end of, we've raised a few kids who are beyond this now. So we've been through the journey. But I want to talk about this. I want to set up the case that this article is making, or the observations that it's making, and then just talk about, hey, how should Christians sort of engage wisely in this world? Because it is an interesting world, and it's becoming only more interesting. And I will tell you this, the more suburban your life is, and the more affluent your life is, the more of these things you will find. Yes. Club sports is unique because it tends to be an affluent suburban reality. That's not entirely true, but I can tell you from coaching baseball with the man across the table here, Dusty White, that there are sports leagues in the city that tend to just be good, normal sports leagues that have existed since your grandpa's day. And then, man, in the suburbs, it's like an arms race for the next competitive gym and building the next facility that's going to host the youth sports complex. And it's crazy.
Because you got to be able to afford it, and you got to be able to sell your soul to it to a certain degree and time.
Yep. All right. So Matt Feeney writes this article, and he tells this funny story. He's like, hey, when our kids were little, my wife and I made a pact that we were just not going to do the sports thing, because we realized we had all these kindergartners who were like playing soccer, and they just basically ran around in a mob on the field. And we were like, that looks dumb. Let's just not even sign our kids up for that. So they basically said, we just were going to sort of like not tell our kids that sports existed and just see how far we could make it. And he said, our kid got to age 7, and all of a sudden he found out that all his friends were playing soccer, and then he started to want to play soccer. And so they were like, oh man, now we got to figure this out. So he writes, he was a skinny little guy who, before the soccer thing came up, had shown little interest or aptitude in sports. He wouldn't be very good, I figured, and he wouldn't like it, and we could end our sports involvement not long after we'd begun. Except he was good. And so he goes on to say, oh no, he says, I was enjoying his weekly triumphs, but sometimes I'd find my thoughts hovering unhappily in this way. Shoot, now I have to care. I didn't think I'd have to care. And so he realized he had to make this decision about, what am I going to do with my kid? He had a kid who was a good soccer player and who was getting asked to try out for some competitive teams. And it seemed like they were at this decision point. And so, this was when this son, by the way, was in second grade.
So he's kind of young.
Yeah. He decided, you know what? We're not going to do it. We're not going to sign him up for the tryouts. We're going to pass on this. He says, our decision was made and I felt good about it, but I didn't feel great about it. As a 7-year-old, my talented son was playing the most committed, immersive, serious soccer he'd probably ever play. After that, in his world of grade school boys, serious soccer interest would channel through the few kids whose parents put them on competitive teams. And the rest would either quit playing altogether or keep on for 1 or 2 more years in the larkish version of youth soccer called recreational. Then they'd quit too. This shows an ironic predicament in American family life. Families with athletic kids encounter the system of youth sports as a single blunt choice of take it or leave it. The irony is that this system expresses in the form of a sprawling networks of clubs and leagues, the aggregate choices of well-off, highly motivated American parents. Now, here's the sort of key statement of the article. Youth sports have come to be about something besides sports. The clubs and leagues exist nominally to facilitate the sporting play of young athletes. But over the last 30 years, they have come to serve the perceived interests of those athletes' parents who see commitment to a club sport as a means to a separate end. This end, of course, is college.
Now, as an athletic scholarship.
Yeah, either athletic scholarship or a preferred admission because you're a recruited athlete. Now, here's what's funny about that. Rarely do I actually meet a parent who thinks that their 10-year-old is going to play something in college, but it's in the back of their mind somewhere. Everybody's like, man, but maybe my kid could be really good. And there really is this, if you want to, there comes an age, and he's narrating the story about his son and says it was second grade. I experienced it with my kids more around the middle school years where what happens is exactly what he says. All the kids who really were good at that sport, you have a kid who's playing soccer and basketball and hockey, and they got to pick one. So they sort of like, they go start playing hockey and they drop off the soccer team. And so what happens is the older a kid gets, the less competitive the league gets. And at some point it just becomes lame. And so if your child actually wants to be competitive in a sport, you kind of face this choice where you have to say, okay, at some point we have to put them in a league where they're actually going to get developed in a competitive way, especially if they want to play in high school or at some meaningful level. So every parent kind of faces this we face this with baseball, Dusty, where it's like, man, when your kid's 9 years old, you don't need to travel anywhere to find a good baseball game. They're all over the place. But man, by the time your kid's 12, if you're still playing recreational baseball, you end up playing with kids that aren't good at baseball and don't like baseball. And it just makes it hard to develop the kids who really want to compete while still honoring the kids who are just there to have a good time. And so every parent kind of faces this melange of choices. Enter club sports to solve this problem for your affluent parents.
And I remember this personally. I think probably our generation, Bob, was the last one to get away with going from recreational sports leagues to high school.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Athletics. Yep. And I remember being like, man, these guys all played legit baseball and I really got a pony up here.
Yeah.
Now that's just impossible.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, if you're, and this is, hey, it's weird because even as a parent, it's really confusing to figure out. Because if you don't figure it out till too late, you're like, oh crap, we didn't get on the feeder team. Like my kid's not going to be playing in ninth grade because they didn't play in fifth grade on the right feeder team. It's a very weird system. Let me read the next paragraph. I'm not saying, this is the author writing, I'm not saying that all or even most sports parents join competitive clubs in pursuit of college. Almost all of them confront the same in or out choice in the same rueful attitude that I did. They choose in because their kid just wants to play the sport in a serious way. Once they're in the system, the idea of college functions as vague justification for the heavy toll in time and money they're already paying. But the longer they stay in, the more specific and persuasive this idea of college becomes. This is the irony of the American system of club sports. It expresses the outsized agency of American parents, their ability to pour money and effort and ingenuity into a system until it is a marvel of complexity and sophistication, which then limits their choices and controls their lives. That's a great line.
Yeah. And that's the most helpful part about this article, because at some point it shifts from the kid and their talent to the parents having what I would say an emotional attachment to their club, to their thing.
Yes.
And that, everybody knows the parent who's living vicariously through their kid on the baseball field or something like that. But at the same time, when the parents start to have an emotional attachment to their kid's possibilities, then it becomes, well, I have to remain in friendship with all of these people. I have to remain in community with these people. And that comes with a cost.
Yeah. Now let's acknowledge a couple of realities. One is And if you spend any time around youth sports, you'll see this repeatedly. It's often true that the kids who are the most pushed toward competitive sports actually lose their love for it and don't want to play in college. So like I can give you names of athletes that my son played with who were the best baseball players on the team. None of them wanted to play in college because they were so burned out by their parents and by high school coaches pushing them because they were really good athletes and everybody knew it. And they were like, man, you're going to have a chance to play in college. And guess what? By the time they got to 12th grade, they were just done. They were just tired of it. And so they didn't even do it. So the whole system has some inherent weaknesses and vulnerabilities when we think about the wholesale development of a human being.
This isn't in this article, but I did hear that there's also studies that show that when you enter your kid into club sports at a younger age, it has nothing to do with their performance later on. You either got it or you don't, so to speak, which is really interesting. I do want to say that if it is fun, we do have a need to be having fun.
Yep.
And if your kid's got it, like, listen, I don't come from like ridiculously athletic genes, okay? So I don't really have to face this like D1 issue ever. But it is, when you do talk to former D1 or, you know, pro athletes, they're nervous about their kids having to do that. Like if they're godly Christian people, they're actually kind of nervous about like, oh man,
yeah,
here we go. And I don't know how to temper this because they know that they had to give their life to it.
So we've got a fair number of people in our church who were pro athletes or college athletes and who have athletic kids. And, you know, I know that they're listening and facing these kinds of choices. And I think for every Christian parent, here's what we're trying to say. There's not a moral imperative here. You're free to participate in youth sports, but there's a need for wisdom in the trade-offs that's going to require. And what this article seems to point out is this dilemma that on the one hand, if I want my child to experience competitive athletics, at some point I'm going to have to push them toward a club team. At the same time, what that club team is going to require of me and the sacrifices it's going to ask me to make are going to start to compete with my commitment to the local church, to gospel community, to meaningful friendships in my neighborhood. And every parent is going to have to be ready to sort through that trade-off and to prayerfully and wisely think about how do I approach this reality of club sports in a gospel-driven way, in a way that loves my kid and gives them the development they want to have, but at the same time does not sell my soul to the idol of youth sports. And this is a complicated reality. And I think there's even a need for some entrepreneurship and innovation here, probably by Christian parents, to solve some problems that no one else is really interested in solving. I'll talk about a few of those in a minute.
I think what this does is it really opens the door for like a middle way. Like it's not no sports and it's not become a professional. It's like maybe become semi-pro. Maybe, maybe we need to have a market for semi-professional athletes where, you know, the pressure's a little off, but it can still be competitive. Wow. Kind of.
Yeah.
Did you guys know Mike played semi-pro?
Semi-pro. Where you got to like drive your own bus, right?
Oh. Where your special teams coach drinks Miller Lite on the way to the game.
I will drive your bus.
That's
whoa.
Anybody looking for semi-pro out there, I'll drive your bus.
We're talking about youth sports here, Mike. It's a whole different world. Hey, the trade-off here, or let me say what some of the opportunities are here. Because this is, I really don't understand the way, but when I read this paragraph where he says American parents pour their effort and ingenuity into a system until it is a marvel of complexity and sophistication, which then limits their choices and controls their lives.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I've seen.
Yeah. You just get sucked in slowly.
Yeah. Is nobody's signing up for like, I want to spend $3,000 and travel every weekend. But guess what? At a certain level of club sports, that's what you're signing up for.
Yeah.
And so parents like make these slow commitments and then they get their kid on this team where it's like, well, I guess that's what it's going to require of us. And again, it's not a moral or immoral choice, but man, it's interesting to me that I haven't run into a whole lot of people who are raising their hand and going, hang on, do we have to do it that way? What could we do differently? How could we think about this in a different solution? I've told this story, I think, on the podcast before. Have we done a youth sports episode before? Yeah. Yeah, I probably told this story on that episode, but I literally had I asked when my son was playing football and it was younger, I asked a guy why the games were on Sundays. And he's like, well, because Nebraska plays on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I guess we know what the gods are around here. That's good. I see the idols you're bowing down to, sir. Thank you. Because that's honestly in the state we live in, Nebraska football Saturdays are more important than the local church. And that's just clear.
Still, by the way, is just kind of odd.
So I think there's an opportunity here in a couple ways. One, some set of Christian parents with entrepreneurial skills have opportunities here to create some sports teams that have meaningful and realistic expectations that can be competitive without stupidity.
Without being lame.
Without being lame, but also without having to travel every weekend.
Yeah.
Like what?
And you could be at church on Sunday, maybe.
Yes. Please be at church on Sunday. What he points out in this article with the 7-year-old, right, is that there's once you get into this world, then within the world of club sports, there's like, well, which club is the good club? Like, what's the, you know, mm-hmm. what's the best club? What gives your kid the best opportunity? And what there is within these clubs then is, how can we have an even cooler thing than the club down the street? So the even cooler thing is, hey, we have to travel to Minneapolis this weekend and we're going to Kansas City next weekend. And then we got a tournament in St. Louis and then we're going to Wichita. It's like, well, so you can take out of town trips. I mean, I know people who take out of town trips with their kids every single weekend. And at some point, like, the parents are not doing that because they don't like the local church or they don't value Christian community. They're doing it because that's what the club team requires and their kids on the team. It's not like they've thought about what they're trading for that. It's just, that's what the club does and my kids on this team. And I get that, but I'm suggesting that. And thankfully in the baseball world, we had a coach one year who had played semi-pro, Mike. So AA.
There you go.
AA baseball.
There you go.
So he was a very competitive athlete. And he said, hey, look, these kids are 11 years old. We don't need to travel anywhere. So here's what I'm going to do. I want to get us good games against good teams. They're all going to be in Omaha. You're going to be here every weekend. And I was like, sweet, we're signing up for your team because that's what I want to hear. Like, I need somebody who's not trying to sell me on, hey, we're going to go to Florida. But who's going to say, hey, let's be competitive, but let's figure out a way to do it here. And I think this is an opportunity for Christian parents, particularly and Christian athletes, to try to find some middle ways here that create a competitive reality that doesn't require thousands of dollars and a bunch of travel.
It's interesting because this is an example of like your life is about to happen to you.
Yeah.
Unless you really start to think about it intentionally. Because you do just get sucked in, especially if your kid has some talent. That's why I was saying the emotional attachment. In the article, he basically says, like, once I saw my kid do super well out there, I was like, I'm all in, you know, which that makes sense.
Yeah.
So we do have to proactively get ahead of that and start thinking about it. And I also do think, you know, the other thing I want to say, I don't want to be like, oh, down with club sports. But I do also want to say, like, healthy competition is really good.
Yeah.
I think that's the reason I'm involved, by the way, with my kids doing a bunch of, you know, activities with their subpar athletic abilities. And because they need other authority, they need team. There's a team dynamic that I just can't create that for you as a dad. So it's really good for them to be involved with sports in a lot of different ways for a lot of different reasons. But I also want to say, if the end goal, and his end goal, he says, is like, well, college scholarships potentially, or at least, you know, favored admission because of walk-on ability or whatever. I think if you just did the math, you could probably pay for the first or second year of either your freshman or sophomore year of college. You just added up all the club sport work and all the travel involved. You probably got a college education worth of money right there.
Yeah. Hey, and it should be said, like, even within our own church, we've got a lot of good young athletes. It's fun to watch them compete. It's fun to watch them play. It's fun to go to a volleyball game or a basketball game and be like, man, there's a kid from our church and they're really talented. And it's fun to watch them use the gifts God's given them. So I'm concerned. I don't want this podcast to feel like, oh, club sport's bad. But what I'm aiming at raising here is to say there is a inner logic and sort of an inner structure to club sports that is that continues to build bigger and bigger empires and demand more and more of families. And at some point, Christian parents are needing to step back and go, hey, what are we willing to do and not do here? And how could we create a different reality? And I'm excited to say there are some Christian leaders in our city involved in major club sports initiatives, and they're doing the best they can to try to bring a different reality there. So I think this is a place where more initiative is needed and where there's some opportunities. But it is interesting to observe the way that this whole club sports world gives every parent and kid the college dream in the back of their mind, mm-hmm. and sort of uses that to drive a lot of economic activity, a lot of schedule activity, and a whole host of commitments that really, when you step back and go, is it worth that? The mm-hmm. answer might be perhaps not. I've talked to a lot of people and been around a lot of athletes in the last 10 or 12 years because of the age of my kids. And I can tell you this, and many listeners will know this, even the kids who get D1 offers, even the kids who are the best athletes and go play in college, sometimes can't make the college team. Yeah, or sometimes, right. or the way college sports are now, it's like, it's asking for your life. It's not like, hey, go to class and then also come to practice. It's like, hey, I own you mm-hmm. and you're going to do life exactly as I say. And the minute you don't want to live in this coach's system, you can kiss your scholarship goodbye. It's not like a joyful fun, oh, I got to play a college sport. It's like, hey, you just took on a full-time job called college athletics. And so the payoff, even that some people are envisioning out there, just isn't what it's cracked up to be. And so I think it's interesting to step back and ask, could we help to create a different reality?
It'd be interesting to know out there, who are those people who have done that club sports system, done all of the stuff as kids, done the D1 thing, maybe even a little bit of the pro or semi-pro stuff, and come out on the other side going like, oh, I can't wait for my kids to do that.
Yep.
I think it's few. Yep. Very few after living in that system.
Yeah. Well, and look, my daughter is 15 years old. She will try out for a club volleyball team this fall. If she makes it, she will play club volleyball in the winter and spring. We will deal with all the commitments that requires. And the reason is because we've had a long conversation with her. This is something she really loves. And this is the one sport we're like, all right, we'll make 3 or 4 months worth of sacrifice for you to do that. But we're not traveling to Minneapolis, and there's some things we're just not going to do. So we've chosen the clubs intentionally to try to create a rhythm that actually is realistic for our family and for the level of competition that she seems to want. And that's where parental leadership is required, because if you just sort of go with the flow, the logic and the sort of world of club sports has a huge inertia to it, and it will make those decisions for you.
Man, I really hope that's part of her ESPN 30 for 30 is like, yeah, actually, I know I'm really good, but here's the story. My parents wouldn't let me travel for some of the
games.
That would be awesome. Yeah. I hope that doesn't get edited out of her 30 for 30.
So, hey, if you're, I realize this is one of those podcasts that doesn't apply to everybody. Some of you guys don't have kids. Some of you guys don't have kids at this age. Some of your kids aren't sports kids. So look, this is one of those realities that the reason we want to talk about it is because many Christian parents are going to have to sort of face and deal with this world of club sports. And you're going to have to navigate that for the health of your family, for the good of your kids, and for the glory of God. And so we'll link to this Institute for Family Studies article. The article really is just making some observations about the realities. It's up to us to figure out what do those realities mean as we apply the gospel to them. And as we think about how do we live within those realities in a way that honors the Lord. So that's what we're trying to do on this podcast, is just to say, hey, Christians, here's a world that we're going to have to navigate. Here's a reality. If you have kids, that you're going to have to learn to live within. Let's try to do that. Let's try to be intentional and thoughtful, and let's maybe create some common cause here. I'd love to see athletic-minded families in local churches kind of banding together and saying, hey, what could we do to bring about a different reality or a better reality in the world of youth sports? I think there's lots of opportunity there, and I'm thankful for the people that are doing it.
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in, and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We love to hear from listeners, so if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next Wednesday for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.
Without Travis.